Hey everyone, welcome to Crewcast. It's a podcast for guys of every generation. And I'm Todd Mullins, the pastor at Christ Fellowship Church here in South Florida. The Crewcast is a series of real conversations with other men designed to help you grow in your faith, live with purpose, and become the man God has created you to be.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Crewcast, a series of conversations for the guys of Christ Fellowship Church. We're a local church here in South Florida with campuses all over the place. Make sure you get to one on the weekend. And maybe you're listening from somewhere else. I want to encourage you to get involved with the local church. But we're here with some of my favorite people in the whole world. We got Pastor Ryan McDermott, who looks after family ministries here at Christ Fellowship. We got Pastor Brandon Cato in the room, who's been a really successful business guy forever until we pried him away from that to come look after a ton of stuff here at Christ Fellowship. And then his son is in the room as well. We've got Chris Cato, who's one of our worship pastors here at one of our locations. And we were going to save this question for later on. We were laughing at it right before we started. So I want to know your favorite funny dad moment. You've got a really specific one I want to hear about, and then we've got a couple as well.
So it's kind of a fail, but it's also super funny. But yeah, when the kids were little, they were into sports. So we were one of those families that was going from the ball field to the gym and crossing paths all the time. And so Michelle might have one of them, I might have one of them going back and forth to practice. And so this particular night, we were at the football fields here in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. And I thought both kids had gotten into Michelle's car to head home. And so I thought, you know, I was going to be a little bit romantic, and I called my wife and I started to set up some plans for later on in the evening, you know, when kids go to bed and then it's mom and dad time. And so I was being pretty specific around.
What do you mean my mom and dad time? Yeah.
Well, you know, some alone time. So I was being pretty specific about what my vision for the night looked like.
Oh, no. And Chris is still in the room, by the way.
Yeah. Well, and Chris was in the back seat of my truck and I didn't know that. Oh, and all of a sudden I hear, oh, gross. And I look in the rearview mirror and Michelle's on the phone. I'm like, I thought you had both kids. And she's dying laughing. She's like, nope. Man. And his face was just like, said a million words. I thought he was going to throw
up. How old were you?
I couldn't have been very old, like maybe like late elementary, like early middle school.
I was going to say like 10. Probably like 10.
I was
I'm sorry you've had to endure this twice. I was young enough.
So yeah, he was about 10 and we were going to dinner after that. So it was really hard to go eat dinner and sit next to your kid after you just
You gotta have code words because especially nowadays with like text messages and kids picking up.
Pastor Don Bray says like this, they say, are you up for dancing tonight? Which I think is a very appropriate way to ask that question. That's
awesome. So that was a funny fail.
That's a good one.
Well, Pastor Brandon is a dad. Obviously, he's got Chris in the room. But what you might not know is that Chris is a foster dad, a foster parent for the last year or so. And man, so proud of what you've done to love on kids in our area. And I'd love to hear a funny moment from you as well. And then we're going to unpack some of that in just a little bit.
Yeah. So my wife and I have been licensed foster parents. We've been licensed for the last almost year, but we've had a three-year-old living with us since the first of this year. And so I have two quick stories. The first one, we put him into a preschool and we've been potty training him and trying to get him ready for that phase and being at school all day and, you know, not having accidents and everything. So part of that though is we need to send him to school with extra clothes. And this one particular day, he went to school, everything was good. He had an accident, which, you know, it's learning, he's totally okay. But when we picked him up, he was just in a t-shirt and a pull-up, which means that we completely forgot to send him with any extra clothes. So that was definitely a fail, but it was, you know, it was funny. And then a second one. So we've been trying to work with him on his pronunciation of, you know, anything and everything that he sees. And he has this little water bottle that has a fox on it. And so we were sitting at the dinner table one night and we're just like, trying to have all these conversations with him and like get him to talk and point things out and say what it is. So we're like, hey, what is this? Pointing at the fox. And he repeated a word back to us that I
was
cannot.
Was not fox.
Yeah, I can't tell you what it was right now. You can use your imagination as to what it was. But me being a new dad and not knowing how to control my laughter, I busted out laughing at him saying this. And of course, you know how it is when a kid realizes they did something funny, they want to
keep doing it.
They want to repeat it. So he said it a couple more times and we just really emphasized the X on the end of that word. And by the end of dinner, he got it But that was, we were dying amazing. Laughing about
we
that.
We had a so. Similar experience when our our kids became fascinated with finding Venus in the sky.
No. Nope.
Yep. So anyways, moving on.
Awesome. That's great. Well, I love this conversation today. It's going to go a couple different directions. One of which is we just want to celebrate the fact that not every dad is a biological dad.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
are differences that in this idea that we're talking about of passing the faith baton on. Mm-hmm. We've said it before in a few episodes, the vision of our church is to get there first. In the race to the heart of the next generation, the first one there wins, that we have spiritual sons that are not related to us. I'd call Brandon a spiritual father of mine. We have sons and daughters that are foster and adoptive that we have mm-hmm. stepped in. My wife and I have adopted two now, you know, forever. And we don't have a biological child, but we have two of our own. Yeah. And we're going to be talking about passing our faith on. Pastor Todd shares that the most important thing that God has assigned parents to do with their children is to learn to walk with God, yeah. to know his voice, to encounter his presence. This is a call not just for biological fathers, but for every single one of us. And I want to hear from you guys on how you are doing that in your families. You know, I want to celebrate Pastor Brandon. You've got two kids that both love Jesus. So you yeah. need to write a book and whatever you're doing, we want to do it.
Let's do that.
And you know, Declan and Kinley, your kids, they love Jesus too, Ryan. And I just think what you guys are doing is working. And Chris, what you're modeling for every kid that's in and out of your home is beautiful. So we want to start a conversation around that.
Yeah. I think for me, it was a season of failing at that is what taught me how to win at that. Mm. So in like early 2000s, you know, I was, you know, your young dad going after super hard in the business world and thinking that, you know, the more I provided and the better I did in the business world,
yep.
Gave my family everything that they needed. And so, you know, that's what culture tells you.
Yes. Right.
That's what the people that's right. around you tell you. Mm-hmm. And that's what my friends were telling me. Some of my friends that actually went to church with me on the weekend.
Wow.
And so it was through a few years of that, watching my kids fall out of love with the church and in love with the idea of making money and building business. And I watched their dreams kind of shift. You know, they were really young in MOPS and all the things that the church offered. And they were coming home talking about Bible verses.
That's moms of preschoolers, right?
Yeah, moms of preschoolers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So something our church offered back in the day. And I remember the kids would come home and they'd be talking about their favorite Bible verse or this. And then there was a right. season where they talked about they were going to own this and buy that and have this. And I was like, man, I've painted the wrong picture. Wow. And so for me, failing at that said, I have to show them a different picture. If they're watching me and they're seeing this version of what I was trying to become, that changed what they wanted to be. And
right.
so it took a while, but I was like, all right, God, we got to get this fixed. And so I started chasing the things of, you know, that Jesus had for me, like the more important things, like being in church and making church a priority and serving and giving and doing all those things. And when I started doing that more, they started wanting to do that more. And
yeah.
so it was the picture that I was painting. I had to change the picture.
Wow. Chris, I would be interested to hear you talk about the other side of that.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
What was your perspective on everything that your dad just shared?
Yeah, I remember it pretty distinctly, like kind of the shift and when it happened.
Be honest, you were mad when the shift happened.
Yeah, no, really. It had become something that felt a little bit more like a chore, especially because, like my dad mentioned earlier, we were a sports family. So we were always traveling and kind of spending the weekends going to tournaments or, you know, I played football. My sister played like a couple different sports, basketball, softball. So it was a lot more fun to travel than to come to church. And so there was a season where it did just feel kind of monotonous and kind of like a chore. And as I've been reflecting on, I remembered a distinct like weekend where my dad told us that he was going to come and serve on the parking team. And we were like, okay, whatever, like enjoy that, I guess, you know, you're going to go stand and wave cars in. But it's incredible to see how that one decision to just wow. start serving wow. and modeling beautiful. That
yep.
Changed the trajectory of our whole family. And right after that, my mom, my sister and I started serving in kids ministry.
Yep.
And we did that for a long time. And then eventually the Lord called my parents to start our Okeechobee location. So yeah, that one little decision to, you know, park cars and serve for one service and then attend with your family made such a huge difference for us.
You were telling the story the other day about, so Brandon and Michelle are not musicals, what you wouldn't describe yourselves as. Both your kids, incredibly talented songwriters, singers, musicians. And you were telling the story about when Chris was learning to play guitar, he like locked you out of the garage.
He did.
So you didn't know. And somebody was teaching him guitar. And then he showed up and said, I'm going to lead worship at the campus today.
Yeah.
I mean, the satisfaction of that had to have been far more than any sport moment that you can remember. You know, just...
You know, I remember that time of serving too. Like, I remember actually having somebody in the business world that I was, you know, in the business world, I was at the top. You know, people would say, you got everything you want. You got everything you need. Why the heck would you do anything different? And I remember parking that week. It was a Christmas weekend, actually.
God bless you.
I remember parking and one of the builders that I was really close with got out of his truck and actually walked over me and kind of like shamed me for being in the parking lot parking cars. And he's like, what are you doing? Like, you own this or you do that. And I'm like, yeah, but that never made me happy. Like, this is, and so now that guy, you know, we're talking 10, 11 years later, that guy serves at our gardens location. And, but it was like this moment of, hey, I'm chasing something different.
Yeah. And you're modeling that. So, and I love the relationship you guys have. It's evident. It's beautiful. And Pastor Ryan, I'd love for you to share a little bit about how we leave our faith with our kids. And you've got some things that you've been kind of talking about lately that I'd love for you to expound upon.
Well, I think what Brandon, you were talking about is just, this moment where it kind of shifts and your priorities change and you start putting things in their proper place. And I think we all kind of go through that in different ways, you know, because it's so easy for something else to become the target, whether that, you know, you were talking about kind of success being that thing for your family. Yep. We've talked about in the previous episode, like really most parents would say their number one goal is to ensure that their kids are happy or successful.
Right.
And, but if we chase those things, you know, they rarely lead to what we actually hope to have. And so just kind of the recognition that passing on our faith to the next generation is God's purpose in parenting.
Yep.
That's why God gives us children.
Yep.
And so I think that's an important understanding. But what's cool is there's a lot of research, you know, just about what actually makes faith stick in the next generation. And the truth is that the best predictor of faith transmission to the next generation is actually relational closeness in the home.
Wow.
Specifically, and that's especially great, with the purpose of who we're talking to right now, the father, the relationship with the father and the closeness of the father is the number one indicator of faith transmission. So that we know there's a lot of people who grew up without dads or without present dads, and God can make up for all of those differences with other relationships and through the church. But for those who are listening who are dads, it's important to know your closeness with your kids is the number one indicator of whether or not faith will be passed on. And there's actually, they've defined like three keys to closeness. And so the first one is just the warmth of relationship, right? So the idea of being like affectionate with your kids and present with your kids and vulnerable with your kids and have an emotional connection with your kids, you know, which a lot of times that's like not the picture of a dad.
Not what culture paints.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But warmth of relationship is one of the keys. The other one is modeling faith at home, you know, and I appreciate the way that's phrased because it's not like modeling perfection at home.
That's great.
It's not being perfect. It's just like that you have a relationship with the Lord and you're modeling that at home. And so, you know, I think even for you to go like, oh man, maybe the priorities of our family have gotten off course and we need to change something, you know, like that's faith, you know, serving the parking lot, faith, all of those things. So modeling faith at home. And then the third one is space for open conversations.
Yep. So good.
And just allowing our kids, like as they have doubts or struggles, or there's things they need to talk about, you know, making sure that we create a place for that. And just to speak to the men a little bit, like those are honestly the very things that we relegate to moms.
Mom.
Like modeling faith, space for open conversations, warmth of relationship. And moms are incredible. Like my Christine is a far better parent than I will ever be. So I'm super grateful for all the moms. But those things have been a bit hijacked in that they also need to come from the Father. And the Father also needs to make sure that we do those things. And what I like about that is, like, it's actually not a super high bar.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, to be warm relationally, to model faith, and to create space for open conversations. That actually feels like something that all of us can do.
Right.
And when we do that, what we know is that there is a much higher percentage of faith transmission in the home.
Cato and Son, did you guys ever walk through, that was their business. have you guys ever walked through a season where, like, faith was at question? How did you create space for openness? How did you feel maybe asking questions, maybe even with Kaylee, your daughter? Like, was there ever moments that you were like, you're trying to change things in the home, but it maybe not be sticking the way that you thought it would as quickly as it did? Or maybe you felt like things were changing, but you were like, I don't even know about this. You said church was boring at the time. Something changed, but what did you do in that season to continue to foster that?
So, you know, there's a million different ways in to look at this or think about it. We decided that we weren't going to force them, that we were going to give them some space to figure out how this fit into their world now. Mm-hmm. Like, we made a family decision to go into Okeechobee and lead the campus and see what this thing was going to do. But at the same time, we gave them permission to not be forced to go to Okeechobee every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And when we opted to serve, we said, hey, pick a service.
Yeah, that's great.
Pick a service once a month or every other week or something like that. I set the bar for myself and modeled what I was going to do. And we gave them space to figure out what that looked like for them.
Yep.
We knew they were busy. We knew they had school. We knew they had friends. We knew that their whole world was being shifted. So we wanted to make sure that we didn't, like, cold turkey. One day we're doing one thing, the next day it's totally different, and we force it on them and it doesn't become theirs. We wanted them to own it.
Yep.
And to like it. Maybe not love it right away, but at least like it, so that it wasn't, oh, my mom and dad made me do this.
Yeah,
it was like, we gave them some space to figure out what that looked like for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think seeing how important it was for you and mom helped us at least recognize the fact that there was something to it more than just wanting to do something, or, you know, it showed the priority that you guys gave it made me feel like it should have a priority in my life, even though I may not have understood why or what that was going to look like. So I remember, just like you said, picking a service and going and serving. And the first couple of times I was like, why am I doing this? But eventually started to just love it. And like I said before, we were serving in kids ministry and just getting the love on the kids and spend time with them. And, you know, the way we do church on the weekends too, it was an hour of my time. Yeah. And that realistically was not a whole lot to give up, especially if my family's going to be there anyway. So being able to have a little bit of that freedom to decide for myself, but then also experiencing it and then serving in it. And even as a student, I got to go to what is now Movement Camp. Back then it was called Belgrade Student Week.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was a little less of an option to go to that one.
Yeah.
I remember going on the first year. I had a great time. I didn't know what to expect, but ended up having a great time. And then the second time it was like, oh, we're going to do this again. I was like, all right, you know, I'll go and try to make some new friends or whatever. And ended up having like a life-changing encounter with the Holy Spirit at that student week. And then from there on, it was like, we're going full speed. So
that
opportunity to, I guess, just kind of explore it a little bit and kind of experience it for myself.
Yeah,
I think made a huge difference. So,
you know, you said there are a lot of different ways to do that. Cause I feel like one conversation I have with parents a lot is like, you know, if their kids aren't interested in the things of God or interested in church, like, what do I do? You know, like, and it is interesting because it's like, depending on their age and depending on the, you know, like Pastor Todd will always say, like, we didn't have a choice. We were going to church, you know, like that he was forced into it. Obviously that worked out okay for him, you know, but like knowing your kids, knowing what we do as a family, know that there are different stages in parenting, right? So there's like a stage in parenting early on, and there's different terms that get put on all this stuff, but like, you know, a cop, coach, a consultant, all of those different, there's like an age and stage of parenting where it's like, no, this is what we do. I'm the parent. I make the decisions for our family and we do this. But then, you know, if you try to parent kids in that way as they get older, probably in this stage that they, you know, that you're talking about now, when Kaylee and Chris were a little bit older, if you try to parent that way, then it's like disastrous, you know?
Right.
So I think just the recognition that, like, depending on how old your kids are or how they're wired, like, you know, it's not inappropriate at times to make the decision for your, this is what we do as a family,
right?
You know, but then, like you said, at some point it's got to become their own and you've got to give your kids space to really, you know, do that. And I think when we parent in some of those pockets for too long, that's actually what causes maybe more long-term. Because I talk to a lot of parents, I'm sure you do too, who's like, kids have walked away from faith.
Right.
And that's such like a desperate point, you know, that everybody goes through seasons of like that often, but knowing what to do in moments like that can be a challenge.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. And I want to, you know, Pastor Todd shared this the first episode, him and Pastor Julie were talking that in this season, as a culture in America alone, 17.8 million kids don't have a biological father or a stepfather in the home. That could fill Los Angeles four times. It could fill New York City twice. If you think about how many kids are growing up without what Ryan just described, someone passing their faith on. And what you guys have done is you stepped up to say, we're going to care for kids in our community. I want to know, as this vision has been rolled out as a church, that we're passing our faith off to the next generation. We've always been about that as a church, but we've really dialed in lately as a foster dad and a foster grandpa, as he would call you. Pop, I think is what he calls, you know, he runs around. Like, it's beautiful watching what you're doing, but I want to know where that came from and what it's meant to you to pass your faith off to someone who's not your flesh and blood and what that means to you guys.
Yeah, it's an honor first to be able to do that, and for my wife and I to love on him and to see the growth that he's had. Actually, this morning is total God moment, but over the last 3 months, not every day, but I've tried to remember to like say a little prayer with him before we go to daycare or to school. And this morning we were driving to school, we pulled him to the parking lot and he goes, "Amen." I'm like, you want to pray? And you know, of course I wanted him to say yes, you know, but when he said that, I was like, oh my gosh, like something is clicking, something is sinking in. And so was able to, you know, just have a quick little prayer, nothing complicated. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for today. Thank you that Z gets to go to school, you know, just modeling gratitude. And that was just such a incredible moment. I can't wait to, it literally just happened this morning. I haven't even been able to tell my wife yet, but just what that means for us and how even just saying a little prayer in the morning on the way to school, like he remembered it and it made a difference to him. And so I think this journey over the last 3 months has really just been seed planting.
That's right.
With Z and little things like praying like that, making it attractive for him and making it something that he enjoyed doing. And before bed, like reading Bible stories, reminding him daily, speaking encouraging words over him that Jesus loves him, that he's with him, things like that to just make it a more real, more personable to him. And I feel like even speaking to what you were saying a couple minutes ago about being present with him, I have noticed such a change in his demeanor and what our home life looks like by just like trying to be present with him and putting down my phone. And as hard as it is, like going upstairs, playing with him, playing with the little trucks, you know, spending time with him, being present with him, and the way that that's allowed me to actually speak into his life and encourage him in those moments and pray with him and stuff like that. So it's been amazing.
Yeah.
For us, you know, it was just pretty easy because there was a decision they made and we're like, hey, we're always going to champion and support our kids. Like was a decision we made when they were super little.
Yeah.
So this is something that's been on our heart too. Like we went through an adoption process and tried to get that and thought we had the door open a few times, like many years ago. And it just, for one reason or another, it didn't work out in that time, but we were willing and ready. And then, fostering never worked out for us. I don't know that we were fully open to that. So, When the kids said they were going to do it, we're like, well, this is easy. We'll be, we'll just champion it. Like,
and by easy, I mean, you empty nesters and Z at 5 a.m. knocks on the door. We play trucks. We play trucks.
He told me. The first night Z spent the night, like 3 a.m. I woke up in a panic realizing like we have a two-story house and there's nothing blocking the stairs. And I'm like, do I need to go sit in front of the stairs and block the stairs? So it was, I did have a pretty good fail on that too, because I had this genius, what are they going to call us? You know, and like, I wanted something different. And so I got them to call me Big Pa. And for some reason I thought Big Ma was a good idea. But
you walked in.
She walked in the door and I was like, Z, there's Big Ma. And she goes, what? And she's like, no.
No one will be calling me that. You know, that's awesome. Well, and I just appreciate too, we have like thousands and thousands of guys every weekend who step up to be fathers for kids who are coming in from situations where they may not have a dad or a present dad. And, you know, we've talked before about how through the church, God makes up for all the relationships that we may or may not have, and just the importance of spiritual dads. And so I think for anybody listening to this today, like, you know, God might call you to be a biological dad. He might call you to be a foster dad or a foster grandfather and block the stairs in the middle of Big Ma. He probably won't call you to be Big Ma. But man, every single weekend there's an opportunity to step up and to be present in such a way that we help pass on faith to the next generation. Yep. And we could not do that without all of those men stepping up to do it. And we kind of joke about it all the time, but like, you know, real men serving kids ministry.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just goes to what we're talking about. It's like the influence and faith of men in passing on faith to the next generation is incredibly important.
Yep.
And so I love that there's that opportunity, obviously in our homes. Yep. God may prompt you to do, you know, something in your own home, but within the church, we have the opportunity to step up and to be spiritual fathers for those around us.
I love it.
I just heard a story the other day. I was talking to a single mom, and her son was like 22 now, I think, like just getting ready to graduate college. And she was telling me about one of our team members here on staff that decided he was just going to start attending his sports games because there was no dad in the home. And he's like, I was thinking he has no idea the impact he made.
That's right.
From taking off an afternoon here and he met him through like he was doing a group and students and
come on.
And somehow just heard, oh, I'm playing football. And there's, you know, so he just showed up and then he's like, awesome. When's your next game? And then he just showed up. And he's like, when are you going to play basketball? And he showed up. And he just kept showing up and kept showing up and kept showing up. And now he's like his real grandfather. Like he's like become that to him. So it's I think if you're willing and you're open to it, God's going to give you an opportunity. It may look totally different than what you think it would look like.
That's right.
But man, guys, you have so much to give, so many opportunities. It could just be sitting with somebody having a cup of coffee and listening to their story.
Yeah,
man can totally change their path.
I love that. I'm inspired. I'm challenged and encouraged by this. And I want to speak to every person that's here. It's a part of Christ Fellowship Church to step up in some way and to come be a part of what God's doing here and not to miss a single episode of these guys. Thank you guys so much for your vulnerability, your honesty today. And as we've been saying over the past couple episodes, at the end of the series, we're actually going to have a Q&A with some mental health professionals as well as some of our pastors. So send in any question. Nothing is off limits.
Yep.
What you want to ask about parenting, but don't miss a single episode. And we'll see you right back here next week. We'll see you soon. We'll